Again, we turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 1. The verses today will be verses 7 through 12. And let me explain why we're turning here and not to Numbers. I was encouraged midway through the week with a text late at night while I was down in the lobby at General Assembly. And Elder Renner ganged up on me with Elder Maxwell. And you need to not preach this week. You're tired. You're busy with the General Assembly. And I didn't answer. I am going to preach this morning, but that's partly because this sermon I'm preaching to you, I pretty much had it done in my head because of something I heard at General Assembly in one of the other messages that I just really would like to think more about, and I think I'd like to have you think more about together. And so it wasn't a lot of work to put together, but I am taking his advice and to avoid his admonition. And tonight we will have a sermon video. I don't have it listed in the bulletin yet because I need to pick that before we leave later today. But we're going to 2 Chronicles because it's something simple I can preach to you in terms of how I'll handle it as a topical sermon today. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 7 through 12. Hear now the word of God. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people, like the dust of the earth is multiplied. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but has asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. And I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee. Neither shall there any after thee have the like. Amen. Well, again, I heard a very fine message on this text at the RPCGA General Assembly in Chattanooga, Tennessee this week. And it really struck me. Something that he said really struck me that I think is really something that we should think about together today. Together, we should think about this. We should think about ourselves. We should think about this question and analyze ourselves. It's a profound question. He asked this question, if you could have anything you want, what would it be? If you could have anything you want, if you could ask for anything that you wanted, what would it be? What's on your list? I would encourage you to think about this right now. What's on your list that you're hoping for in the next weeks, in the next months, in the years to come? What's on your list that you think of, if I only had this? If I only had this, life would be better. Life would be great. My life would be happy. What would you ask for? Well, it would probably be what's on your list. It's what you think about. It's what you plan your life around. What would you ask for? He asked this question. What if you won the lottery today? He pointed out that most people who win the lottery, at the end, they're not blessed because people don't know how to use money. But what if you did? What could you have? If you could have a genie in a bottle, or a genie in a lamp, you know, and you know those stories we hear about where somebody finds the lamp and polishes the lamp, and out comes this genie. What can I give you? You have three wishes. What would you ask for if you said, "Ask anything you want of me"? You have three wishes, and I will fulfill them. Or what if he said only one wish? What would you ask for? I want you to really think about that right now. What would you actually ask for? What's the first thing that would come to your mind? Now I want to encourage you to check your list of what you would wish for, your wish list, with Solomon's request. God is no genie in a bottle, but he asked Solomon an open question, what do you want me to do for you? And notice in verse 7. And that night God did appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. So again, if God appeared to you tonight and said, ask what you want me to give you, what would you ask for? What would you ask for? What have you been asking for God? And he says tonight, what would you have me give you? What would you ask for? He is no genie in a bottle, but notice he says to Solomon, what do you want? This is right at the beginning of his taking on the kingdom from his father, David. You can imagine there's a lot of things he could ask for: power, influence, riches, a long kingdom rule. But what does he ask God for? Think about that. God asks Solomon a question, what do you want me to give you? And what does Solomon ask for in return? And how does it compare to what you might ask for if God asked you this question? Look at verse 10. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that are so great? Solomon didn't ask for a car. Solomon didn't ask for a house. Solomon didn't ask for a lot of money. Solomon didn't ask for a whole bunch of things that you and I probably would have asked for first. He said, God, please give me wisdom. I don't need anything more in life than wisdom. And if I don't have wisdom, I am done for. How will I rule over this great people with the great responsibility you have given me? Anything else I have will fail. How many kings fail for a lack of wisdom? Please give me wisdom. Isn't that amazing? I mean, really stop and think about it. God asked an open-ended question. What would you have me give you? And Solomon's answer is, please give me wisdom. Give me knowledge. That's an example. That's what we should be doing. That is what we need the most. You can have all kinds of toys. You can have all kinds of things. But if you don't have wisdom, you will misuse them. And you will ruin them. And you will ruin yourself with them. And they won't last. God can give you many children. You can ask for children. But if you don't parent them wisely, you will ruin them and they will ruin you. You need nothing greater than you need wisdom. Solomon asks for wisdom. Wisdom is something probably last on our list, if it really would have even been on our list. May it move up our lists, and may it move to the top of our list. I mean, I'm struck, beloved, when I pray, I don't think to ask for wisdom very often. I think I ask God to fix things for me more, to get me out of things, rather than to give me wisdom to work with what he's given me. Isn't that true for you? How often do you ask God to give you wisdom so you can wisely live through the situation he's put upon you, such as Solomon's? What is wisdom? Wisdom, you could say, is good sense. It's having good sense, not just common sense, but good sense. It even has the idea of a technical sense sometimes if you look at the Hebrew lexicons. a technical sense that is a capacity to apply knowledge effectively in a life so that you have a good life. Help me know what I should do and help me to be able to actually choose to do it so that I skillfully live my life according to the way you show is wise, that I have the benefits of it. Fernanda and I have been reading through the Proverbs for our couples' devotions, and it's striking to us how often the proverb is saying, my son, do what I say. Make sure you listen and learn and do what I say so that you are blessed. If you don't listen and you won't do what I say, you will not be blessed. And regularly there is this call to have wisdom in life. Good sense, wisdom, an ability to discern and choose correctly. Something that is so lacking in the world and certainly in the church. The ability to know the difference between right and wrong according to what God says, not what I say, not what I feel, but what God says, and to do it against how I feel. Wisdom is the ability to know what to do against how I feel and to do it. Not to listen to the advice of the world, but to follow what God says and to trust he will bless it in the end. Wisdom is the ability to choose correctly by knowing what is correct by God's word. It is the idea of living skillfully, living life skillfully. Oh, we often train for certain jobs, whether it is more of theory or more of certain technical work, and we want to be skillful in what we do. But how little do we actually study to live life skillfully? To be skillful at how we live our lives. To be studied and knowledgeable and experienced about how to choose correctly between right and wrong and to do it. And to lead our families to do it. And to see our church doing it. Yes, by God's grace. Yes, by his strength, of course. But according to his word. Wisdom is to skillfully make good moral choices that give you a better life. For you and for those around you in God's kingdom. It's not just for you. It's having a sense of, I have responsibilities. Please give me wisdom, because what I choose and how I act to choose and how I choose to live my life is going to have an effect on other people. And in terms of my children, a profound effect. A profound effect. Make me cognizant, aware, mindful of those around me and under my influence, and give me wisdom to choose correctly. Not just for me, but because of how it will help me take care of other people who rely on me. That's what Solomon is saying. Help me to have wisdom and knowledge, because you've made me in charge of a great people. And I don't feel capable. I'm not capable. I need your wisdom. You've put me in charge as a king now. Please give me wisdom so that I can judge your people well. And you'll see stories of how Solomon is so well known for God answering this prayer. He does judge rightly. You can think particularly of when he says, well, give me the baby and we'll cut it in half. Rhetorical. And then, of course, he's testing. And then the true mother says, no, 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 no. Now we know who the true mother is. He's known for wisdom for these kinds of things. God answers this prayer. He's known for such great wisdom that the Queen of Sheba travels great distances to come and learn of him and see how great he is. And she's heard also of his great riches. You see, life that is lived wisely will give you many blessings. That's why people who know how to use their money well have a lot more in the bank than others do, because they know how to live wisely and carefully. And then you end up having great blessings. Notice God's response of approval to this request. Notice his outpouring of more blessing to Solomon because he asked for this. He wanted the best thing, wisdom. Notice God's response. He said, you couldn't have asked better. You could not have asked better of me. You could have asked for all these things like most people do. You asked for the best thing. So I'm going to give you the best thing. And I'm going to give you a whole lot more things that other people who seek those things never have or can't hold on to them because of a lack of wisdom. But you will. Verse 11. And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor. You know, remember that Jesus says in the parable of the sower, those are the kinds of things that keep you from having the word of God take root and spread and bear fruit. And you have not asked nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet has asked long life, but has asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. He says, you know, you didn't even ask long life. You asked for a good life. See, that's the thing we should be praying for more too, beloved. Not that we don't die young, but that we live well. You can think of Pastor McShane in Scotland. He had an enormous impact on so many other ministers by his godliness, by his love for the word, the way he preached. And he only lived, I think I understand, to the age of 30 years old. And I think his ministry was not very long. But he had a profound impact. He seemed to know he wouldn't live long too. And so he lived his life that way. And he lived an amazing life that impacted many other people, a wise, holy life. God says, because you ask this, look at verse 12. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. Look at that. Your wish is my command. Your wish is granted. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee. Neither shall there any after thee have the like. Remember, it says later, I believe, you know, they had so much silver, it was like common. It was like wood. You know, they made regular utensils out of it. It wasn't even, you know, for special use. They just had so much. That's what God did. He gave them amazing riches. But because he didn't ask for that, he gets the riches. Because he asks for wisdom, God gives him everything else that he says, I didn't give to the other kings. Why? They didn't ask for wisdom. So they could not be trusted. Just as certain parents don't give certain children certain things, sometimes they will not remember them in their will because they know the child cannot be trusted to use the wealth wisely. And so they're not let to have it. I've been in many meetings with people talking about their wills when I was in development, and I'd hear that. But Solomon isn't like the other kings. He can be trusted. He wants wisdom, and wisdom is how he's going to be able to live life well and rule the people well. So God says, because you're going to have wisdom, I'm going to give you all other things too, as a testimony that you asked for the right thing, and as a testimony that this is what you get when you have wisdom, because I will give you more, and you'll know how to hold on to it with your wisdom, instead of frivolously waste it. God gives more when you want the best ability to serve his kingdom best. Let me say that again. God gives more to you of other things when you ask for the best thing, the ability to serve his kingdom best. Matthew 6, verse 33, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well. But note that there's a little bit of an if-then implied there. If you don't seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, don't expect him to entrust you with other things, because then you want to use it for you and not for the kingdom. And then you'll waste it on yourself and not for the kingdom. Wisdom is the main thing that you should want in your life, beloved. Wisdom will give you more in this life than anything else, beloved. Why aren't you and I asking for it? Why aren't you and I seeking it? When it's the main thing. I'm not just saying that. The text teaches it, but the Proverbs say that quite explicitly. I'd like to go to the Proverbs with you. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. a bit of the application of this word by God's word elsewhere. Proverbs 16, verse 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? Now let's stop and think about that again. Knowledge, understanding, Solomon asked for, that's information. Wisdom is the ability to apply it. The proverb here says, it is so much better to have wisdom than gold. Do you and I believe that, or how much time do we spend trying to buy things for our happiness? How much time do we spend hoping to buy things, planning our lives of acquiring things, and very little time acquiring the knowledge of God? He says, it's better to get understanding than choice silver. Do you believe that? Does your life show it? How much time are you spending in your Bible? Because that's where the wisdom is to be found. And how much time are you spending thinking about everything else? As if those are the main things. See, wisdom and understanding is not something that the world will be impressed with. You can't drive around in wisdom and understanding and everybody say, wow, what a great wisdom and understanding you have. Look how shiny it is. You can't have people come over to your wisdom and understanding and say, wow, look at all the amazing decorations, and look at this refrigerator, and look at, wow, look at all the rooms and all how you've modernized it. No, you can't show the wisdom that way. That's the way of the world. But how many times do we see people living so foolishly in these things and with these things? Like little children with toys that they break and they forget about and they're not thankful for once they have them. Then they need the next thing. Wisdom is the ability to live well wherever you are. And people will see that over time. Wisdom is the ability to know how to live. Let me ask you this. Do you have a hard time handling life? Do you have a hard time handling life? Do you have a hard time being content and satisfied? Do you have a hard time being happy? Are you easily provoked? Then perhaps you are not easily entreated. Wisdom is the ability to live life well and be blessed over time and then have material fruits from it. Turn back with me to chapter 3 of Proverbs. If you need help to know how to handle life, then get wisdom. Nothing's more important. Chapter 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Now, I want you to think about how similar that sounds to the Beatitudes in the beginning of the Sermon of the Mount in Mark chapter 5. Blessed is. Happy is the man that findeth what? Money? A better job? A lot of times we don't need a better job if we learn how to be wise with how we live, with what we have. Happy is the man that what? Fill in the blank with what you would have asked for. Or rather, see that it isn't there. What would you have asked God for if you could today? Because why would you ask for it? Because you think it will make you happy. If I just have this, I will be happy. And I'm looking to the world and the example of everyone else to think that. Happy is he that hath wisdom. Notice the word findeth wisdom. You got to look for it. You got to go get it. And the man that getteth understanding, that is what King Solomon asked for of God today. What do you want, Solomon? I would like to please have wisdom and understanding. Notice verse 13. Happy are you if that's what you want, if that's what you find, if that's what you ask for, if that's what you have. Beloved, I want to challenge you and I. Do we believe this? I'm not so sure we do. Or at least we need to be praying, help thou my unbelief, increase my faith, which is as the size of a mustard seed. Because if I do an inventory of how I spend my week, and if I do an inventory of how I use my thoughts and my mind, I am worrying about tomorrow, and it's because I'm worrying about things and people and places, and I am not really very interested in having wisdom of how to live life through those things. You and I need to learn to ask God for the principal thing, wisdom. Do you want to be happy in this life? Can I show a show of hands, not rhetorical? Do you want to be happy in this life? I guess some people don't want to be happy, but if you want to be happy, here it is. Get wisdom. Get understanding. This is the word of God, thus saith the Lord. Frankly, beloved, think about it. How many times have you been so unhappy because of how unwisely you handled something? Because of how poorly you chose what you did or what you wanted and what you got? As we've heard sometimes, be careful what you wish for, be careful what you ask for. Sometimes you don't want God to give you what you're asking for. That'd be the worst thing for you. You want to be happy? Are you asking for wisdom? You want your children to be happy? Are you teaching them to be wise? Is there education about the wisdom of God in the Bible? Or is it about a career? Or is it about status? Or is it so that they can be smarter? There's a lot of smart people who are not wise. Are you training your children to ask for the principal thing? It'll show in how you spend your week. Are you having family worship? How often are you having family worship? Do you tack it on to the end of the day? I'm challenging myself with these comments. The way life can get so busy with things, we just spin our wheels over. And we end up running over our children with them. And we don't teach them to be wise. And then we wonder, why do they choose so poorly in life all the time? And we wonder, why are they so unhappy all the time? Because whatever they want, it's not wisdom. And it's not understanding. Because it isn't what we want. It's not what we ask for. It's not what we go after, so it isn't what we have. But notice chapter 16, verse 16, and chapter 3, verse 13, show what God says to Solomon. You will get benefits. There will be wonderful rewards, great, great benefits if you get wisdom. It's the kind of thing you only understand when you have it, when you begin to be able to choose differently, and you go against your impulse. And you go against your emotions. And over time, you establish a new holy habit of living like Jesus according to the word of God, which is opposite. The Proverbs will often tell you to live wise, and it'll tell you to live wisely. Don't turn to the adulteress. Someone might say, well, I need to be happy. How many people say, well, I need to be happy? But the warning is, if you choose this, that adulteress is going to ruin you. Pick your command and say, well, I don't have to obey that one of the Ten Commandments because I need this. I have to have this. Okay. That is a lack of wisdom. And you're going to ruin yourself. Because you won't know God like you could. But if you do, you can have amazing benefits. So, beloved, hear this today. If you have Christ, then more than anything else, next in line on your list should be, give me wisdom, God. More than anything else, your prayer to God every day, every night should be, give me wisdom, give me understanding, that I would live life wisely unto the end. Help me not to live like a fool. And by the way, fools, the proverb said, can never take instruction. They'll never listen. They refuse to believe and understand. Let us be wise and seek to understand. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. This is the message for you today. Get wisdom. Notice all that God gives to Solomon for asking for it. Notice what the Proverbs say about how blessed you will be to have it. Get wisdom. There's nothing more important. I'm telling you, there is nothing more important in your lives than to get more wisdom. Turn to chapter 4. Verses 5 to 7. It's where we get the message today. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Did you hear that? Wisdom is the principal thing. What does principal mean? Nothing more important. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. That's what Solomon asked for. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding. That's the good advice. You'll get good benefits, but the good advice is go get wisdom. Well, how do you get wisdom? You get it from God. You get it from the Bible. That's the only place you get it. So you have to study, beloved. You have to be students of the Word of God. You have to read your Bible regularly with an effort to remember what you read and to apply it. Meditate on it. Think about how you should be applying this to your life and how you need to change to do so. Think about the fact that especially the Proverbs were written by Solomon. So these words of wisdom are coming from the man who asked for wisdom. Even though he shares some of his wisdom that he learned by his own failures, sadly, he didn't always stay wise. Why didn't he? He had a woman problem, first of all. He didn't listen to his own advice. Chapter 5, but I suspect the advice is from bad experience. Listen to me and learn from my mistakes. I should have been content with what God gave me and focused on it. Instead, I started to focus on all the other things he gave me, and I lost the wisdom, and I ruined my life. Read your Bible regularly. Study also the Westminster Standards to best understand the main teachings of the Bible about what you are to believe about God and what God would have you do with your lives. But you have to read it to know it, to know it well. How many times do we read the Bible and say, wow, I never saw that before? Or I overlooked that before, I ignored that before, and now I need to do something with it. And it's going to change my life as I change my life to conform to the Word. You've got to study God's Word, and you should make good use of the Westminster Standards. They were written for you by the Westminster Divines to give you a simple summary of the main things that the Bible teaches, so you would know God and you would know what God wants you to do with your life. So study them. It is the greatest wisdom to know that you have something to learn. You know, sometimes we say, I'm not going to try to bother to teach that person anymore. They are unteachable. It's great wisdom to know you have something to learn, that you don't know everything. What do we say about our teenagers often? At least I know they said it of me, and there's good reason. He thinks he knows everything. Therefore, he can't learn anything. He thinks he already knows. We learn later how much more our parents knew than we did. Then we learn to listen. Listen to all that has been put together for you in the Westminster Standards. Let them teach you. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. Wisdom is learning and seeking understanding from others who have done a lot of work for us already. That's why we pay people a lot of money at schools. Here we have the Westminster Standards, these amazing people doing an amazing work of the Holy Spirit, and they were more studied and educated than any of us ever will be. And we ignore their teaching foolishly. Come back to it. I remember what I passed on to you before. My brother and father in the Lord, who now lies motionless, waiting to go to heaven, as he has been for many, many, many months with Lou Gehrig's disease. I remember him telling me in seminary, I made it my life's work as a pastor to study the Westminster Standards and to understand them well. And he demonstrated to us in class, nothing will be a better study for you than these things. As was reminded to us at General Assembly this week, what's the best systematic theology to read? Your Westminster Standards. That's what they are. Tying together the details of Scripture by topic so you know the main things you need to know and how to live. And my professor said to me, I have decided as I've gone through life when I read the Westminster Standards to say, if I don't agree with them, I'm going to wait and study because it's probably me and not them. And he said every time that proved to be true. This enormous committee of godly and educated men probably know better than I do as an individual. And wisdom is to slowly study until I understand. Rachel had a math question yesterday that I couldn't help her on in busyness. And I said, well, please go to these sources that she knew of, especially online, to see if she can figure it out. And then if she can't, come back to me and I'll slowly try to remember what I learned in ninth grade. I can't remember anymore until I refresh and we'll go over it. But it was beautiful because she did go to that website that is very skilled at teaching, helping children with their math. And she said, then Dad, I went back and then it was fun. And she was so excited to have learned how to do this. And she used the benefit of other sources to teach her how to do it. And she had that joy and that benefit, and then she could do it really well. That's what we're to be doing. We're to be learning from others, helping them help us see what is there so we can do it well. Why would we wait to take assistance? No one ever grows in knowledge and wisdom without study. No one ever grows in knowledge and wisdom without practice. And no one ever grows in knowledge and wisdom without instruction. But don't just be a student. Don't just be an apprentice without praying to the source of all wisdom. Ask God for his gift. Solomon didn't say, don't worry, God, I have what I need. I've got wisdom. I don't need anything else. He said, God, please give me wisdom. He knew that the source of all wisdom is God. So he writes in Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's also the beginning of how men depart from evil, he'll write later. Because that's wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You see, the opposite is, if I don't want to know what the Lord teaches, then I don't fear the Lord. I don't respect him. If I don't give myself to him, if I don't turn to him regularly to know what he has revealed to me in the Bible, then I'm going to make foolish decisions because I don't know his Bible. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of instruction. The fear of the Lord is where you have to start asking God for wisdom and going to where he gives it. The Bible. And wise counsel that knows how to live the Bible. Don't be foolish, beloved. Ask God to give you wisdom. Let me warn you about this. Many times I have heard people say, I am a certain profession. Therefore, I have some secret ability and knowledge that trumps the Bible in effect by what was being brought to bear. You only have knowledge when you start with the Bible, real wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of it. And he speaks in his word to those who will listen, those who will be good students to do, as Paul says, to study, to show thyself approved, or you might say, study the Bible to show wisdom. Ask God to give you wisdom after you go there. Ask him to make you desire it so you do go there. And ask him to give you wisdom, because that's how you get it. You ask for it. You are not wise. Do not be wise in your own eyes. That's usually the concern just before the flood. And that's the concern when everybody in Judges did what was right in their own eyes. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Ask God to give you wisdom. Encouraged by what James says in chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom. Now he's assuming we'd be concerned about that. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Well, praise the Lord. That's just what we saw with Solomon. If you want wisdom, ask me, and I will give it to you. And you've asked for the best thing. Get it. It's the most important thing. Ask me, and I'll give it to you. Now, remember, you have to ask for it. It means you have to value it, like God does. And if you don't get it, he goes on to say in verse 6, then you didn't ask rightly. Maybe you want it for the wrong reason, or you don't really want it. But if you hear God speaking to you today, beloved, and he graciously has touched your heart to believe what he's saying to you right now, then you're going to go out of here and you're going to ask God for wisdom. And you're going to ask rightly, and it's going to be seen in how you go get it in the Bible. A systematic, chronological, regular study of the Bible. And your meditation of it, and your application of it. Because remember, James also says, don't be foolish and deceive yourself by listening to the word and then going out and not doing what it says. So we've got to study regularly. We've got to meditate in prayer on what we've heard in the sermons, and we've got to go out and apply it in our lives, and we've got to keep opening the Bible to help us do that. Ask God to give you wisdom, beloved, if you're convicted by this today. Like, man, wow, yeah. Look what happens with Solomon. Look how God responds. Look what he gives him. Look what the Proverbs say. Get wisdom. There's nothing more important in your life. If you have been convicted of that, if you have been converted to believe that, well, praise the Lord. Just ask for it. Ask for it, and you'll get it. The text of Solomon today is a testimony to the truth of the Proverbs. Get wisdom. It is the principal thing. Happy is the man who has wisdom and understanding. James also says what it will look like when you have wisdom. So here's if you know you're asking rightly. This is what you want to see God do in your life. James 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. So if you're asking God to give you wisdom, you're asking him, please make me pure. The wisdom that is from above is then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. That means you can be told something and you can actually learn. You're teachable. Wisdom from above is full of mercy and good fruits. You can turn to the end of Galatians 5 to learn more about those fruits. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. So again, if you're asking God for wisdom, and James says he'll give it to you if you ask, if you've truly wanted real wisdom, here's what it will look like. If it's from above, it's from God, you'll be more pure, you'll be more peaceful, you'll be more gentle, you'll be more easy to talk to and learn something and actually understand it. You'll be more full of mercy That is, you'll be able to give more mercy because you received it better. You'll have more good fruits of the Holy Spirit. You'll be with less respecter of persons. And you'll be a more respectable person because you won't be a hypocrite, saying one thing and doing the other. See, that's what we do all the time. We do something opposite of what we say we believe when we lack wisdom. Beloved, learn from Solomon's mistakes that he shares about in the Proverbs, such as chapter 5, so that you don't forsake the lessons and have to learn them the hard way for yourself. Don't get the curses of Proverbs for choosing to be foolish and ignore the instruction, either by having heard it and then ignoring it and not meditating on it or praying about it or never even bothering to open the Bible to know what it says. Instead, get the blessings. Get wisdom so you get the blessings. Too often we lick our finger and we hope the Holy Spirit's going to blow upon it and tell us His will for our lives. His will for your life is when you open the pages of this book and you see what it says. What does God want me to do with my life? It's right here in the Bible. You focus on that. You focus on wisdom and how to live good, moral lives for Him. Not to earn anything, but to show thanksgiving and to express and grow in the grace He's given you in Jesus Christ. Get the blessings of wisdom. Get wisdom. It is the principal thing. And many other things come out of it that you'll never have when that's all you're concerned to get first. We have it opposite, beloved. We want the riches first, and then we'll worry about the wisdom later. And so that we never get what we really want, and we never get wisdom. And we wonder why we're miserable in life. It's because we haven't learned how to live life well and skillfully. We have it backwards. We want all of these other things as well. We don't want first the kingdom. We don't seek first the kingdom. So we don't have the great blessing that we could from its king. Get wisdom. And when you have wisdom, you will have more of the most important thing you could ever have. Jesus Christ. Who owns everything. And anybody who knows Him will inherit all things. Get wisdom. The more wisdom you get, the more you will have of God, the more you will have of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is wisdom personified in chapter 8 of the Proverbs, who's crying out in the marketplace, "Come and get me." Jesus, who is wisdom incarnate, as described in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. You want the best thing in the world? Get more of God. Get more of Jesus, who is the Word. The Greek is halagos, logic. I agree with some who have said it could be translated, in the beginning was the wisdom. What more could you ask for but more of Jesus Christ? And if you don't want more of Jesus Christ, that will be seen that you never ask for more wisdom, so that you could live like Him and follow Him and be His light and be His salt. Make an impact in this world instead of wanting everything to revolve around your world. There's nothing better than you could get but Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen? Amen. That was weak.
Amen.
Thank you. There is nothing more important in this life or the next that you could possibly have, nothing even close, than Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Then what is the answer? Get wisdom. Get Jesus. How sad for you and me of how little of Him we have in our lives. How little we have of His power. to live wisely and to have those benefits in life because we don't seek him as the principal thing. We seek ourselves as the principal thing. And then maybe Jesus, and certainly others last. Beloved, get wisdom. God asks you today, what do you want? God is asking each one of you right now, what do you want? May he, as it were, come to you in your dreams tonight and say, what do you want? What is your answer going to be? What is your answer right now? What needs to be your answer for this life and for the rest of your life and for the lives of all those that depend upon you? What needs to be your answer? If you're listening right now wisely, if the Spirit is working in your heart right now, you know what the answer is. You believe it, and you'll ask for it, and you'll go get the answer where God will direct you in his word to get it. What should your answer be? It should be the same as Solomon. It should be the same as the Proverbs. Lord, give me wisdom and understanding that I would know how to live this life on behalf of others who depend upon me. That I could make wise choices, good moral choices, that I could live life with spiritual skill, that I could know more of Jesus Christ and him crucified, that I could learn to know him better even in the fellowship of sufferings, that I could learn to know what he knows that Paul learned knowing him, how to be content in whatsoever situation I find myself. Because I've got more of Jesus, and I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Get more of God. Get more of Jesus. Get more wisdom. Ask for it of God, and go get it where God gives it. Let us pray. O Lord God in heaven, we confess how foolish we are, how foolish we live our lives based on how we feel at any given moment, rather than spending enough moments with you to prepare for them and to choose wisely, to live skillfully, to live morally according to your word. We confess and we cry out and regret and we repent of our neglect of your holy Bible, of our neglect of our daily reading of it, and in context, and systematically, and with the tools afforded to us from the Westminster Standards, that we would know your word, and know it really well, that we would live it, that we would live really well, not according to this world, O Lord, according to your word. Help us to study to show ourselves wise. Help us, Almighty God, to study that we would not be conformed to this world, but we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind to know what is your good, acceptable, and perfect will from your Bible, that we would know it and that we would live it, that we would be conformed more to the image of Christ, who is all wisdom, who has all the gifts of glory and wisdom and knowledge. What is it to be renewed into the image of God through Christ? Colossians and Ephesians will tell us it is to be renewed in holiness, to be renewed in knowledge. To think your thoughts after you, O Lord God, and have those thoughts direct our steps. Help us to walk in the narrow way, after the Him who is the way and the truth and the life. Help us to know your word, commit it to memory, commit it to our hearts. Love it like we sing in Psalm 119. To seek to do it like we see in Psalm 119. To ask you to give us the grace to do it like we see in Psalm 119. that we would have all these benefits of a life well lived and a life with less regret, a life with more rejoicing with you who are our exceeding great reward. Oh Lord, indeed, turn us to your word that we would be thinking on things above and not on earthly things. For our lives are hid with Christ, that we would be thinking and keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that we would be kept from sinking, and that we would not be sunk, and that we would not cause the drowning of others who are depending upon us to stay afloat. Lord, give us wisdom. We ask right now. You have asked us, what do we want? We answer, oh God, give us wisdom. Give us understanding. Give us your word. Let us hide it in our heart that we would not sin against you. Let your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that we would follow the way that leadeth unto life and grants and blesses us with your abundant life and peace that is not of this world in the meantime, and for our children and for our church, and to impact this world. We don't impact this world enough because we are too worldly. That is, we are too foolish. Ignoring you as they ignore you. Make us more wise with the wisdom from above. Give us wisdom from above, Almighty God, that is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality, and without hypocrisy. We recognize, even hearing James say that, that we don't ask for wisdom. But let us ask now. And as we see that you would do those things in us, how much better we would live and how much better would be our lives and those around us. Lord Jesus Christ, give us your light that we would see light and that we would be your light of the world. Lord, give us wisdom and understanding, we pray. And now help us to go get it where it is found. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all your people said, Amen.